and here to talk with us some more about the museum's first few months and what is next, founding director Michael Rush. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Mark. Thanks.
Are you and the staff eager to shake things up a little bit?
Well, we're always eager to shake things up. But, you know, it's funny, in the museum business, for those of us who curate shows and direct shows, whatever, it's always a mixed thing to see one of your babies sort of leave the museum and make way for the new. And for me, it's been a real privilege to be able to curate the opening exhibitions of the new Broad at MSU. So it's a bit of a mixed feeling, actually.
Yeah. You've not been open 3 months. Will this be about the standard amount of time on a regular basis?
Yes.
When you make changes?
Yeah. The idea is that we never want to close in order to turn exhibitions over. We will always be open, so there will always be some galleries that people can see exciting work in. But every few months, yes, certain shows will start to come down and other shows will come up.
The larger public's just become aware of a lot of these works, but you've been looking at them a lot longer, obviously.
We have, yes. The our curator, Allie, whom you just heard, you know, she's always got her eyes open, and she's always traveling and looking at galleries and speaking with artists. But what's particularly interesting and exciting about the shows that are coming down and those that are coming up, is the fact that these exhibitions represent a real international reach. You heard Ali talking about an artist from Argentina, an artist from Pakistan. In some of the exhibits coming down, we have artists from Iran and Palestine, Japan, Korea. Our mission to present the finest in international cultural production and art is really being lived. So we're bringing the world to East Lansing in a way that's very unique, very exciting, and people are responding.
What works that are at the Broad right now have you gotten the most feedback on?
Well, you know, the video in the on the ground floor, the 3D video about the evolution of the world,
yeah,
has been enormously popular. I mean, that artist, Marco Brambilla, who was from L.A. but now is based in New York, he took film clips from hundreds of Hollywood movies and created his own version of the evolution of humankind. And he presents it in 3D. It's really mesmerizing. It's only 3 minutes long, which is perfect for our ADD world, for people to come and just get a 3 minute hit on something that's really magnificent. I think other videos upstairs, people love to see what people are doing around the world. There's some very simple touches of artists, you know, filming their fathers or filming mysterious scenes in Berlin. I mean, there's that beautiful salt sculpture of a boat that's 2 tons of salt. I mean, I could go on and on, but I think people are responding to the very personal and very smart touches that these artists from all around the world are bringing to our museum.
Has attendance been what you'd hoped or expected?
You know, Mark, it's so amazing. Attendance has been so far beyond our expectations. You know, as a museum director, we're always trying to put a positive spin on things, but I don't have to put a positive spin on things more than the reality is. The attendance has so far surpassed our expectations. We are reaching today, this weekend anyway, 45,000 people in the first few months. And that's it averages, you know, at least 2,500, 3,000 people a week. We were hoping to do, we would consider ourselves doing really well if we had 100,000 people during our first year. I mean, we'll probably double that at the rate we're going, if not more so.
Do you know where your visitors are coming from?
Yes, we're taking, you know, we don't have something as systematic as I would like as yet about tracking our visitors. What we're doing is taking zip codes of people as they come in. Now, I can tell you that about 65% are from zip codes within the 30-mile radius of the museum. But the rest are people from around the country and from different parts of the world, actually. Several people, you know, who come to MSU for whatever reason, either they're visiting faculty or they're visiting for a symposium or they're family members. They're all coming through the museum, so we're tracking them as well. So we're getting, like any museum, largely people from relatively close by, but we're also getting a good mix of people from all around. We're really thrilled about it.
What talk to us about the response of the artistic community itself. Does that carry more weight with you? What resonates with you about the feedback you're getting from people with a particular interest in art?
Well, there's the artistic community that's here, and I know, speaking to many artists, how thrilled they are to have, you know, the best art in the world, in the contemporary world, coming here so they can see it. You know, this is one of our goals here, to really elevate the conversation about art here. I firmly believe that the greater Lansing area can be a very significant artistic community, even more than it is now, by virtue of the fact of the really excellent art department that's at Michigan State University, now by virtue of the museum being present, a world-class museum. And also, the other ingredient is housing and studio space. There's affordable housing around here and studio space for artists. This combination is really a perfect formula for an artistic community. On the larger scale, artists from around the world are eager to show here. We're right now negotiating new films with an artist from Iran. We have, as Ali was saying, an artist from Pakistan. She's arriving today. We've hired a curator from Beijing who was just with us this week. He, by the way, has just been chosen by China to curate the Chinese pavilion at the Venice Biennale, which is an extraordinary honor. So we've got artists and curators from around the world really wanting to join us. We have these collaborations with museums in China and Istanbul and Sao Paulo. So we're really on a roll, and we hope to rock and roll into the future.
What's the most flattered you've been by any feedback that you've received so far?
Well, you know, for me, going through the museum and seeing families and seeing their children either sitting on the floor in front of a painting or asking one of the guides or asking me, you know, what is that? It's so much fun. Can you tell me about it? To see people, particularly people not from the art world, so to say, but people who are just coming to expand their world, to enjoy something new, and seeing them, particularly in clusters of families, and enjoying it and asking questions, there's really nothing more gratifying. People learning something new about their world, and that to think that we at the museum are able to provide that, there's really nothing better.
I will miss Red Factor. I'll tell you that. I was mesmerized by that.
Well, as I'm saying, we've bought Red Factor. Red Factor is entering the permanent collection. Red Factor, it's this balloon-like takeoff on a Buckminster Fuller geodesic dome. It looks like a projectile that's about to fly through the front windows of the museum. It is great, but you know, the reason it's called Red Factor is because that little red bird that's on the suspension wire there is a type of canary that is threatened with extinction. So, as with so many artists nowadays, they're creating works of beauty, of interest, but also works that have a social impact, that make us think. And that's certainly true of the artists that are forthcoming. Nazi Khan from Pakistan is really making us think. I mean, on the news this morning is another bombing in Pakistan, and you know, our visitors are going to be brought very up close and personal, so to say, to the situation in Pakistan through this artist's work. And the artist Guillermo Cuitca from Argentina will also be showing us very closely his personal response to daily life, his own artistic life. We're going to be actually watching an artist during his very process. These paintings that you're going to see are reflections of the artist at work. So we're going to be able to look into his mind, into his imagination, as he sits in his studio in Argentina creating artwork.
Are people who may have found the architecture, the exterior of the building, a little difficult to get used to? Mm. Are they warming up to that?
Well, I think so, Margaret. I think, you know, mostly what I hear, maybe people don't give the criticisms to me, I'm not sure, but I think the thing that I hear mostly from people is how excited they are that this extraordinary piece of contemporary architecture is in their community, and they feel enormous pride. It's that word pride that keeps coming up to me from people in the community, people at the university. They're just so proud that something like this exists in their hometown, in the place where they live. And as they say it's a place that they can bring their friends. It's, they say finally there's some place that they can bring people that they feel enormously proud of. So I'm sure there are people who feel that, you know, this rather unusual spaceship doesn't belong on Grand River, but I really haven't heard it, quite honestly. I heard things like that in anticipation of the building, but now that we're open and people are seeing lines around the block and businesses across the street are booming, at least in part because of us. I'm sure you heard the story that one of the coffee shops had to close down opening weekend because business was so brisk they ran out of product. So it's, I think by and large, really the response is one of enormous pleasure and pride, as I say.
As founding director, I have to ask you, was there, did you have a model museum? Did you have another museum in your head that you referred back to any extent as a model for this? Or did you really want to be groundbreaking with this and not rely on a model?
Well, you know, I've been in the, I've navigated the museum world for several years now, so there's, it's sort of in my blood. And there are several museums. There's a couple of museums in Germany. There's the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis. I mean, what I've wanted and what MSU seems to want very clearly is for us to be the international cultural link in this very global reach that MSU has, really honestly, from around the world. So we're trying to situate ourselves as the leading international contemporary university contemporary art museum in the country, and I think we will do that. Very few places have such a strong international focus as we do. I mean, we're really going for broke on this international presentation aspect of what we're doing. So, yes, I mean, having traveled and knowing what some other museums do that are really impressive, yes, I think we're trying to bring the best of practices from around the world to here, but I also think we're doing it in a way that's particular to our locale and particular to Michigan State University. The other night, for example, in conjunction with one of our installations, we had Professor Joan Rose from the Department of Water Supply talking about international water issues, access to water. We even showed a YouTube piece from Matt Damon, who has an organization devoted to water access. We played that for folks. And it was quite really a mesmerizing evening for people to discuss a huge world issue within the context of an art installation. It was tremendously lively, and we're going to be doing this all the time.
Michael Rush is the founding director of East Lansing's Broad Art Museum, talking about what's new at the Broad. You'll see it starting this weekend. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure.